and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord, and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here as we move through the month of June. It is June 17th, 2015. This is Conscious Cool Chic Radio, and I am your host, Molly McCord. Thank you for your presence. I know you're busy and there's a lot going on right now, but I feel that this show is really going to help connect you with more of the energies of right now, especially the upcoming summer energies. And we're also going to have a really good conversation about some tools you can use right now, too. So we're going to speak with Irma K. Sawyer in just a moment. Irma is back to have another great conversation around her recent energy experiences and expertise and how to guide you more fully at this time. A few quick announcements. If you are brand new to the program, welcome, and you'll find that there are over 200 podcasts available of this show, covering everything from astrology, spirituality, consciousness, and awesome guests. So take a look at some of the archives. You can check this out on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes, and you might find a topic that really resonates with you and your experiences right now. One of the shows I did just a few weeks ago was about the astrology and energies of this month, of June. And there's been a significant shift in energies here as of the new moon on June 16th. And, you know, things are going to start to move forward. So if you have felt stuck, if you have felt really like nothing was going, that's going to change. And I feel like that's something Irma and I are going to talk about today. So I'll hold off on saying too much about that. But just to let you know, the astrology really supports us moving forward now as we enter the second half of June. So just to give you that insight and let you know, keep your eyes on the prize. You know, things are developing and happening. I just did a popular show yesterday, in fact, about plagiarism, shadow feminine energies, and higher consciousness. And that show has been really popular and really sparked some great discussions. So if you're drawn to that topic or have been seeing that theme overall, you might want to listen to that show as well. And then coming up in July, we're going to talk more about astrology. We're going to have a great guest who's going to be here talking about numerology and some more good topics. So please feel free to follow this show either on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes, and you will be easily connected with all the great developments that are happening. So I'm excited to introduce to you the lovely and wonderful Irma K. Sawyer. Irma is an author and spiritual channel. She is her books have been published by Starfield Press, and she now has four books out as of right now: The Aquarian Empath, The Aquarian Empath Part 2, The Aquarian Path to Abundance, and Cosmic Love. All four of her books are brilliant and wonderful. Irma is an intuitive Akashic reader, an energy healing practitioner, and also a spiritual counselor, a spiritual guide who has been doing this work since the 1990s. And she's fully tuned in and has great wisdom and information, and I just always love speaking with her. So without further delay, welcome back to the show, Irma. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Molly. I'm always bopping to your choice of tune. I love that, Hey Soul Sister. So, Hey Soul Sister, I'm glad to be back.
Hey Soul Sister. Yes, and you know, we just realized that Irma first came on this program, I think, back in August 2013. So this is probably like our fifth or sixth chat together, and I hope, you know, I know that we're going to have a great time as always, but I can't believe how fast the time has gone by.
Well, like I said, it flies when we're having fun, and it's always just so wonderful to speak to you, Molly. Thanks for having me back on your show. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Yes, well, I'm so happy to talk with you. And, you know, there's a lot that we can cover and dive into, and I'd love to start with your new book, The Aquarian Empath, Part 2, because this has been a really popular topic for many people. The Aquarian Empath Part 1 has been very popular, really resonated with a lot of people. And so now you bring us Part 2. And full confession, of course I've read it. Of course I think it's fabulous. But I would just love to know, Irma, what was your inspiration for writing Part 2? You know, what were you really picking up on in the collective that was needed?
You know, it's an interesting journey, this book, because I don't know, some people do know, but I am working on what was going to be my fourth book, and I'm still working on it, I'm back to it now, which is The Aquarian Healer. And so I was working on that, and I started getting some information, which I thought would be like a blog post for, it was on, you know, more empathic information, and then I started looking at it going, whoa, that's going to be a really long blog post. So then I spoke with the publisher, my publisher, wonderful Lloyd of Starfield Press, and he said, well, why don't we just do a digital copy? Because at this point I thought it was going to be like 25 pages or something. And by the time I was done with this, it was 86 pages. So it's available in paperback and in digital format. So it was based on some of the experiences that I had earlier in the year, and I know we've talked a little bit about the eight universal year frequency that we're in, and it's funny because, of course, the keepers, my guides, can be cheeky and have a sense of humor, and looking at the year when I did the forecast, the year ahead, you know, the eight's all about manifestation and magnification, and I wasn't exactly sure what that was going to mean for empaths and highly sensitive folks. But for a lot of folks in that category, it's been very, very challenging. There's been some strange karmic things that have come up, some really pretty serious energetic challenges. I was going through my own, and as I was, you know, speaking with my community, I'm blessed to, you know, be part of a large community in social media. You know, a lot of people were going, yeah, you know, what's going on? And I'm having that experience. And so I was just kind of, it's interesting because I was off my little path and just kind of digressed. And, of course, I make myself available to, you know, what the universe and spirit wants to share with people. And so this book is really unique as far as my other ones, because all of my other books, of course, have a lot of channeled information. But this one was kind of like, hey, stop what you're doing. And you're going to be working on this. So I was like, okay. So this book, compared to some of my others, I also was a little concerned because it's not, well, none of my stuff is, you know, pink unicorn sweetness and light. I mean, I do cover both ends of the spectrum. But, you know, I do get into some weightier material in this book, and I was sharing some of it at my author page, and I was very happy that, you know, really across the board people's response to it was so positive, and you know, that this information was useful to them. So that's kind of how the book came about. It's really kind of got a unique story, you know, especially compared to my other work.
And it's so timely, Irma. There's things that you touch on in this book that I feel people really need validation about. It's things that you could be thinking in your own head and you wonder, is this just me or is anyone else experiencing this? And I think that, you know, you really touch on some of these collective energies, such as energy infiltration, psychic vampires, you know, things to keep an eye out for. And I think it really helps people, you know, just affirm within themselves, okay, I am tuned in, I'm not the only one feeling this, and it's important to just have that acknowledgement from someone else such as yourself, where, you know, they know they're not alone because energies are so different right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. And it's really interesting, too, because the one thing that I was noticing you know, in the process of writing the book is I knew, again, that this year was going to be different than previous years astrologically and also with that numerology, but it really, you know, the one thing I would say about it, if someone said, you know, what would you, how could you sum this up, your thoughts about it, it's especially empathic and sensitive people, this is the year we really had to step up our game. This is the year that we really couldn't, can't afford to be lax. As I often write in my reports, especially with the Neptune retrograde, and we'll talk a little bit about that, I'm sure, but it's, we can't afford to just, you know, have poor energetic hygiene, especially now. You know, it's, like I say, it's a daily thing, and I know we've touched on that in the past. You know, it's right up there with, you know, brushing your teeth and doing all your other daily things. You know, if you're a sensitive, empathic person, there's been a lot of just stuff, for lack of a better term, flying around, and that we really need to be aware and awake of what's going on in our own energy field, you know, what belongs to us, what doesn't belong to us, all of those important kind of basic things that I covered in the first book. So I feel like, you know, this book really does kind of, you know, run with that, take those concepts and not only bring them into the present energy, it kind of brings them up a level as well. So I was happy that I felt that I accomplished that.
Beautifully said. Yeah, it does bring it up a level. I felt it was really in tune and relevant to right now. And I think that that's something a lot of empaths need, because not only is the collective energy changing so much, but our individual's energies are accelerating quite rapidly right now. And I see that with even some of my clients, astrology clients. Like, they're having these huge breakthroughs, new understandings, new insights, a lot of really good stuff. But also at the same time, there's some other stuff that comes up just as fast, and you want some tools to work with that. So I would love to know, Irma, I just want to pick your brain here, what are some of the more relevant empath tools that people can use right now?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And it's interesting, too, because we were talking a little bit about, I know we're going to go into armoring and protection, and I took that to my guides, and, they, you know, the theme of sovereignty, personal sovereignty is very important. And also, just kind of, it really boils down to, it's interesting because it's very complex and it's very simple all at the same time, but it's really about what are we creating in our reality on a daily basis, right? What are we allowing in? What's occupying our thoughts? You know, really, who's running our show? Who's running the script of our movie? And as the Keeper said, it boils down to, are we running more fear or love energy in any given moment? And again, I know that sounds very simple, but I think it's very profound. And as you know, yeah, a loving view, colors are, you know, are experienced in a certain way, and so does a fearful view. So the issue I found with empaths, especially, a lot of what we've had to do, it's not about attaining anything, because we have, of course, all human beings have it all within them, but especially about the shield, what they have been sharing with me about shielding and protection. Really, there's, first of all, we came in here, they didn't give us a guidebook as empaths, right? that's where I wrote a couple, because we really just
right.
kind of were winging it, and, you know, we were just kind of sensitive and kind of finding our way through, you know? So I feel like it's shifting our kind of alignment from a more love-based reality from a fearful one. And part of the reason why empaths have been experiencing so much fear is, first of all, there's a lot of scary stuff here, we know that. Second of all, a lot of this didn't even belong to us in the first place. I know we talked a little bit about that too. And the third point is empathic sensitive people tend to carry more trauma than people that are not of that persuasion. So I feel like this year we've really been showing, they call it the chink in our armor, or maybe where we have some holes or some areas that need some work. So as painful as that can be and as uncomfortable as it can be, it's really important for our own evolution and to go really to the next level as empaths and to be, you know, have our hearts be open and running more love energy, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to be loving beings and share light and wisdom and healing for the planet. We're not here to be shut down and in fear and have physical problems and, you know, emotional problems and a lot of the, you know, things that can go along with that. And I am going to be talking more about the physical, emotional aspect in the new book, in Aquarian Healer. I'm going to be going into that more in depth. But I really feel like that's a lot of what it is. It's really about this awareness, like where I feel like a lot of empaths that I've been speaking to, these vulnerabilities have been made known to them. And mine certainly were, which inspired the second book. And, you know, so I think actually I was just thinking about this at New Moon, interestingly, that some more harsher, you know, could even be deemed negative experiences I had, I'm actually grateful for them. They were incredible teaching tools for me. And hopefully, you know, a lot of people will gain from that as well through the book. And I know that it's a universal thing as an empath. We go through this. All of us have dealt with this as empathic, sensitive people. So, I think that's kind of a long answer for your question, but I think that's really what we're looking at. We're looking at how do we get to a greater level of sovereignty, and as much as we want to just, like, jump up a few flights of stairs, it's really about practical work. And I think it's interesting because now we've got Saturn, as you know, back in Scorpio, which is we're revisiting that, like, oh, do you have any fearful chakra material that you need to look at, your empath? Well, you have another revisit of that. But as you know, when it comes back around, we all tend to be on a higher level and have more awareness. So that's my thoughts on that.
Yes, beautifully said. Thank you for all of that. Because there is a lot right now that is, again, pulling us back into, okay, where is my practical work needed? Knowing that when you do your work, you then contribute to the whole. And that's so much about what empaths do in such a beautiful way, is that we hold this other energy, this other light frequency that is really needed, but it also requires us to do our real, authentic work, which isn't always pretty or glamorous or sexy, but it matters. And so I love that you have that really, you know, realistic view about that. And then, of course, as Saturn is now back into Scorpio, we're looking at the parts of ourselves that we thought we were hiding from, but we can't. We can't
Absolutely.
Do that anymore.
Yep, it's right there. It's right there. Yeah.
So I love what you have to say about the armoring and how to stay in your integrity. Can you first define what you mean by armoring? And then explain that a little bit more, because I think that is one of the really great insights that people are ready for right now.
Thank you. Sure. As you know, there was something that came out of the first book. It was in 2012. The Keepers gave me something that they called the Empath Activation and Shield, which I do offer privately via my website. And I've shared that with many people over these past years. And I work with this on a daily basis. And the way that I explain that is it's just a very thin membrane, and there's a lot of different ways that people work with shielding or protection. There's the bubble technique. There's, you know, myriad amounts of techniques that people use, the white light, et cetera. Basically, you know, what this is, the way it's been explained to me, is it isn't created out of a, fearful thing like, oh, we've got to keep the world out. The way I explain it, is this is a way for empaths to be more comfortable and feel more safe in the world where there's all of these things going on. So it's really important with this, and this is another level of it that I just got recently, that we don't get into what sociologists call mean world syndrome, which I like that expression. We all know these things are out there. As empaths, we feel them doubly more or maybe even more than people that are, you know, our non-empathic counterparts. So that's just a given. So I'm really getting that our language around this, our thought process around this, because we really are. Another really cool thing that's been evolving this year is that we're energy artists. You know, we're making it up. Again, it's our show, and we're directing it. It's our painting, and we're using the colors that we want to work with and the tools and all the cool stuff that's out there, whether it's astrology, whether it's energy work, all kinds of stuff, numerology. We've got all these great things available to us now. So I feel like, again, our focus and kind of what lens we're looking through is really important. Another thing I got, too, and this is one of those things I'm like, oh, I really would have liked to have put this in the book. I think I kind of did in different language. But looking at the fact that all kinds of, you know, philosophies and more on the Eastern side, but have said that if you look at your experiences, everything that's happening to you and for you is for your greater good, for your evolution, for your awakening. And that even means if you've got some funky energy coming in, or maybe you've had a weird or negative interaction with another human being, that we can turn that and, you know, look at that in a more positive lens. Like, you know, to really shift that out of that Piscean, as you know, because all my books have Aquarian in them, it's really about shifting out of an older Piscean martyred kind of vibe into a real empowered, sovereign Aquarian vibe, brotherly, sisterly, kind of more detached, you know, but it's still loving. It's just in a different kind of way. It's just more empowered. And again, that's not to diss Pisces, because Pisces is a beautiful energy. But in the collective, Pisces has been played out, as you know, studying astrology, Molly. It's been played out in quite a dark way in terms of victimhood and, you know, and martyrdom and all of that kind of stuff. So that's really why I feel they chose this whole Aquarian, the word and the concept. And, of course, we're moving into the Aquarian age, so it's perfect. So I think the other thing, there's kind of a two-part thing. So there was that, as far as I'm choosing to look at everything that I experience is for my own evolution, for my own growth. But another thing that empaths, and I talk about this in the Credo, in the book, which I know you love and I appreciate that, is that we are igniters and activators of many people, you know, unbeknownst to us, right? I think in the Credo it says, you know, being a triggering agent for other people. And since we're so loving and we're working to get away from this spiritual, what the keepers have called spiritual codependence, which is, you know, cleaning up after everybody. I like to joke and say, you know, walking after everybody with the dustpan, which is kind of a funny image, but, you know, we're getting away from that. So it's also knowing that other people are in their own process. And like you mentioned this too about these energies that we're in, very potent time. So really it's about, again, a loving Aquarian detachment, holding space for ourselves and other people, but no longer running after people with dustpans, no longer feeling responsible for other people's journey. And that's a huge thing. And that's
huge.
The one thing it's huge. And I feel like as far as my teaching and the thing that I feel like I'm a broken record about, but people tell me they appreciate it, so it's okay, is that you can hold loving space for your brother or sister, but know that there are aspects of their journey that are very deep and mysterious, that are between them and the divine, and they're really kind of none of our business on an ultimate level. So, right? So it's really kind of about stepping away from this, you know, Cinderella complex or what have you, of being responsible for everybody. Because I feel like this also contributes to so many of the health issues that I see in working with empaths. So much of it has to do with over-responsibility, whether it's shoulder pain, neck pain, lower back pain, digestive issues, you know, quote, can't stomach it, taking on too much energy. The list goes on and on. So I feel like those are the two key points we're working with this year, are really looking at our focus, whether we're coming running more fear or love energy in any given moment, and dropping the spiritual codependency. Like, that's pretty much it right there.
Love it. Yes. And so much good stuff that you just said right there. First of all, I love energy artists. That is brilliant. I think that wonderful term. That is so cool. So, and I also want to read to people what you were referencing about the Aquarian Empath Credo. I have that passage here right in front of me, which states that I understand that the light I carry may be unconsciously triggering to the shadow material of others. It is not my job to fix or intervene in their process, especially if I am not asked to do so. I drop all feelings of guilt about this and am confident in my abilities to be detached, yet still loving and compassionate. And
well,
so, friends,
is good.
It is good. Yeah, you think, who writes this stuff? That's really good. So, you know, friends, this is in the Aquarian Empath Part 2, and this, it's really strong. You have 3 points here in the Credo, and I think this is information. It's like you want to buy the book and then you want to print out this Credo and just have it so that you remember this information. It brings you back to center and it really empowers you, which, you know, so much of this book and your messages are about. So thank you for this Credo, Irma. It's really wonderful.
Oh, thank you. You know what I was thinking too is isn't point number one about removing our? Can you read point number one? I think that's important to talk about too.
Yes, I have the right to remove myself from people, places, and things that I find harmful or toxic to me, understanding that I can do this without assigning blame or harming others.
Woohoo! Yep.
Big.
And,
yes.
Big. That's really big. I feel like the work that we've done, starting in 2010, 11, really peaking out in 2012, this is something that we really probably are a lot more masterful around at this point. Even though if people are new to this work, that's great. Everybody's where they're at. But this is something that it's beautiful to see empathic folks being more comfortable with this, because of course I'm interacting with people and reading what they post and that kind of a thing, and how they're just saying, like, I've hung in there with this situation for a really long time. I mean, that's another thing that's coming up that started last year in the 7, as you know, which is a highly spiritual energy as well. It really, like, the universe is really shining a light, like, this is not working for you anymore. And for a lot of people, it's been about 2 inches from their face. And, you know, where we are right now is we want to avoid what I jokingly call the shakabuku, which is where it becomes very Uranian and by force, and it becomes the cosmic kick in the behind. We want to avoid learning our lessons in dramatic and difficult ways, right? That's the goal we're moving away from. And again, as empaths, we've had far too much trauma and shock. We don't need any more. Thank you very much. As I like to say, got a closet full of those T-shirts. We're ready to donate them to the Goodwill and get on down the road. So really, this is something that I see a lot of people really comfortable with that, and that's so awesome, because that's so vital. And this is another thing, too, is, you know, ego and some of these older energies, you know, Piscean energies are like, oh, but we have to hang in there and fix and save everybody. First of all, if our cup is empty, as you know, we're no good to anyone at all. So it doesn't serve our greater mission to be being, you know, bled out in situations that are no longer serving. And like I said, I see a lot of people getting that, like huge, like large numbers of people are getting that. And you know what, that's going to have a beautiful impact, because, and as you know, that, you know, since we're talking about the collective too, when we become more sovereign and empowered, it creates a space. The keepers are always talking about that. They use that expression, it makes the road wider, which I love that expression. It's beautiful. And I've actually seen that. You know, what started out as kind of a narrow road and is bigger. So more people can get on there and be supported. Because that's another thing, too. When you start doing this work and you start kind of branching out on your own, there's the whole, like, oh, she's a weirdo. And, you know, the whole being ostracized and judged and people don't get you. And so the support for this is really here now. And that's something that definitely wasn't here when I first started doing this work. Seriously, I really started getting into this work probably in 2010. And it was, you know, it seems like it's many lifetimes ago. It's only 4 years, right? But it's like when you look at where we are from then and now, it might as well be another lifetime, you know. So that's an important point. I'm glad that, you know, we talked a little bit about that, because, you know, of course there's still going to be weird little pangs of guilt whenever we choose ourselves over other people. But, again, that's a matter of perception, because if there's only one of us here on a very high level – and, you know, every time we dishonor ourselves, we dishonor other people, and vice versa. As we honor ourselves, we honor everyone else around us. And as I posted something about that this morning, because there gets to be a point where, again, it boils down to it's really other people's path is really none of our business. And our path, the other part of that equation is our path really isn't their business either. So there's
right.
that aspect going on too. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that.
No, I think that's a brilliant point, and that's something, too, that I've seen and that I would even call spiritual abuse, where people, you know, dive into other people's lives or energies or what they're going through out of curiosity, because they have the energetic skills or savvy or psychic abilities, whatever. And, you know, that's so out of line. That's not your business. And you know what? We're all human. We're all learning. We're all growing. We're all going through things. So, you know, focus on your own garden. Come back to your own yard. Don't be that nosy neighbor who's always wondering about other people's stuff, you know. Like,
there's,
your power
is
in your own place.
You know, I want to thank you for doing, some of those shows. I know the one on plagiarism again and the shadow feminine, that was very powerful, and also spiritual abuse. You know, these are tough topics, and I know that they're not easy to discuss. You've done a brilliant job with that. So I just wanted to give you a high five for that, Molly, because these are very important topics right now, especially in these energies, because this is a real kind of separating the wheat from the chaff. I mean, this started last year, but it's more about, like, you know, who's walking the talk, what's real, what's phony, what's really going on, you know, discernment being an important key. So I love the fact that you're willing to tackle whatever needs to be discussed, you know, in a brave way. So, yay. Just wanted to give you a shout out for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, because it's something where you feel like this topic can really help people right now. It can really help them understand what's happening, to get some new wisdom, something about even the validation of it, because, you know, as we move forward, like you said, on a higher level, there's only one of us here, yet we each individually contribute to that energy, and we're responsible for that energy, and it's important to, you know, really kind of call out and shine a light on where some of these energies are not really showing up in integrity, because that is very prevalent right now.
It really is. Yeah, and that's the one thing that was pretty on par with my forecast for the year. That's the one thing that I really felt and was shown, that, again, there's going to be – it's going to get trickier as far as people that you know, the charlatans or people that aren't integrity. It's like, well, we've gone up a level. Well, so have they. Everybody's gone up a level. You know, the game is if it was a video game or whatever, we're now on the – you know, we're dealing with different adversarial energies now. But, you know, on the other hand, that's another thing I've been talking to guidance about. It's making us greater. It's pushing us to greater things. And I know that this is something that's, you know, I'm glad we're talking about this too. This is the first part of this year for many people has been very difficult. The challenges have been really tough. And I know people came into this year like, oh, it's the aid and my ship's going to come in. And, you know, I'm still saying that it can and it will, so it's not that that's not real. It's just that anything, spirit and its infinite wisdom, wants you to manifest at the highest level of manifestation that you can. So if there's something in the way that isn't, it's not in alignment with that, you know, kind of Virgo, kind of divine perfection vision, it's going to get moved out. And it'll either get moved out quietly and subtly, or it'll get moved out with a bang. It just kind of depends on our level of attachment and the karma. And, of course, everybody's different and individual. So I feel like that's another thing I wanted to address, too, because people have been frustrated, sad, angry. There's also been a lot of grief. I talked about that yesterday on my wall. You know, I invite people that do light work. That was one of the things that we cleared in the new moon, is because whenever there's a lot, you know, a loss, a big shift, you know, well, there's a grief and a feeling of loss when you have to let go of something. And the replacement or the new thing, people, person, place, or thing has not entered into your reality yet. It's interesting because at Bright Star, my page today, the card of the day from Meg Hill, the wonderful color intuitive, was black, was the void. Which I thought was so perfect because we're still in the new moon void of manifestation. And it's all about, right? It's very quiet. It's dark. And so here we've got, you know, it looks like a black hole. Some people, that's intimidating and scary, but it's where everything is born from. It's highly, highly creative. So that, I thought, was really interesting, you know, because there's, as you, you know, share other, it's kind of cool as you share other people's material on your pages, you know, to see this kind of cool synchronicity and this alignment that's going on. But again, you know, there is a lot feeling of, it can be a feeling of emptiness, but there also is a beautiful kind of a divine emptiness, too, that really is lovely. So I've been kind of encouraging people to move towards that. that aspect of the energy. But I feel like that's really where we are right now, and leading up until the 8-8, I know we're going to get into that a little bit too. But again, you know, Saturn in Scorpio, retrograde Neptune, that's very inward. That's a real inward focus that we're in right now. So I think a lot of people have been feeling that.
You know, that's, let's go there with a little bit more of that astrology talk,
yeah.
Because not only is that the Saturn retrograde, Neptune retrograde, well, Pluto is retrograde, and then
right.
later on this summer, you know, we're going to have Venus retrograde. So there is this energy of doing the inner reflective self-evaluation right now, this summer, especially into September. So I would love to hear what you're picking up on, Irma, about that Neptune retrograde and some of the summer energies.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thanks for the reminder of Venus and Pluto. Man, that's a lot of retrograde planets at one time. That'll be interesting. Well, first of all, as you know, people react to going within in different ways. Some people really dig it. Some people really resist it. So this is a special interest to empathic, sensitive folks, whether they're out in the public at work, whether this is with their family at home or their friends. The possibility of projection and what people call offloading increases in mm-hmm. periods of retrograde when people are feeling discomfort kind of in general. But the out of all of those planets, I think, well, Saturn as well, but the really important thing, I did an actual little post on this, Neptune retrograde periods are very important for empaths to note, because basically, since Neptune, I like to joke and call it the cosmic superhighway, which is another word for the ethers. So empaths and highly sensitive folks are naturally psychic and attuned to etheric levels, whether they don't, you know, they don't need 1 ounce of training. They're just there, right? This is like something that we came in with. So the training and, you know, level isn't really essential. There's a part of all of these, you know, any empath that's going to be attuned to that. So this is also, I think it's, yeah, it's retrograde all the way until November, the Neptune is, as I wrote, and again, repeating myself, but grounding, centering, and being in your own energy in a Neptune retrograde is not a luxury. It's absolutely vital. Because this
yeah.
is one of those things where absolutely, you know, people will be like, well, I have all these weird dreams, and I pick it, and I'm like, oh, well, did you ground that day? No. Well, there you go. You know, it's not one of those things like, oh, I'm too busy, and I'm just running out the door. This is something that, it, like I said, I can't stress it enough. It's just absolutely vital. So I think how these energies are going to be related to sensitive, empathic folks is, you know, kind of, A, the potential for offloading in the collective in general, as people, you know, kind of aren't comfortable turning within and looking at their own stuff. There's always, a potential of a projection. And then there's the other aspect of that, the astral will have more stuff or debris or whatever you want to call on it. And again, that's not to be, you know, get anybody in retraction or fear, but just to, you know, it's a heads up. You know, we just otherwise to say heads up, buttercups, you know, to let people know what's going on, that they really can't afford to be lax in their, you know, energetic hygiene, as I like to call it. And, you know, the other thing I think is, you know, I talk about too is I like to cover the stargates, especially the ones, the 8-8 is always significant in August, and, of course, the 11-11, which is, you know, smack dab in Scorpio, and that's just, you know, vibrationally and numerologically, the 11-11 holds a lot of weight, you know, energetically, but so does the 8-8, and now we're in an 8-year. So that makes it a 888, folks. So I'm telling people that it's only Saturday this year, which is really cool. I'm teaching class that day. So I encourage people to, you know, celebrate that, however they feel drawn to doing that, whether they're in nature or however they want to do it. But I feel like that gateway will be, you know, to people that are tuned into it, of course, will be a significant, almost something like the solstice. I think that this is a huge opening, and it's really the way it's been explained to me is all of these gateways tend to be culminations and opportunities to ascend to another level. I think this one is major because it's a 888. So,
right.
Again,
yeah.
That'll be, so, you know, yeah, that'll be something to really not be in low frequency company at that time. If you have to cloister yourself, if you, you know, whatever people have to do to get the most out of that energy. But that's a huge gift for us, especially people that have been doing the hard work of this year. You know, the magnification and manifestation, this, you know, this year has just flat out not been easy. I know it's not because I'm out there talking to people. It hasn't really been easy for me. This new moon was really beautiful, and thank you for addressing that. That retrograde, I mean, you know, at one point I just kept playing music and making jokes because what are you going to do? But it was fierce.
Well, that's
you
the
know,
Gemini
that
love, right?
Yeah. God.
Gemini, you know, the Gemini energy too, you know, let's make a joke, let's do something light, let's get our minds off of where they could go, because it is, you know, the beginning of this month was so, it was a stagnant, there's something about it that just wasn't moving in many areas of life that I
Absolutely.
Found really fascinating. And one more thing too, Irma, I just realized Uranus is going to be going retrograde too this summer, the end of July. So that means, friends, all of the outer planets are going to be retrograde this summer.
Wow. Wow.
So there you go. That means, and for those who aren't aware, retrograde planets mean we look at words that start with R-E, review, reflect, reprioritize, reexamine, and relax. You know, how can you relax a little bit more? What do you need to surrender? What do you need to let go of? Which really touches on what you were saying, too, about all the Neptune retrograde energy. You know, where do we have to just kind of be in the flow this summer?
I love that. Thank you for that point. And also another reword that came to me was return, you know, which I think is kind of interesting, too, because a lot of times in retrograde, especially Mercury retrogrades, but not necessarily, you know, I definitely had this last one returned to some things that maybe were not done properly. And that's one of the, you know, we can talk about the positive side of it is there's a really good potential for correction, because in my own particular case, there were some things that were messed up by other individuals and by bureaucracies, et cetera, that weren't, it wasn't done right. So again, returning to these issues, they were sorted out and done correctly, and now the whole thing's on a higher level. So that was another interesting thing, and I had a feeling I kind of predicted this, because since Mercury was, you know, in its organic place of being in Gemini, where it's happy there, and it also gives it a lot of power, there's a real, you know, there's a real trickster element to that, which can be, you know, complicated and difficult. But the gift of it is, like I said, you know, to take something that looks kind of negative initially and then see it through and then see the gift at the end, because that really, there was a lot of that in that last Mercury retrograde, not only in my own life, but a lot of people I was dealing with. So I feel like that's, you know, so with that many, you know, planets, that's just, wow, I'm glad to have that information.
Right.
That's really powerful. So, you know, I feel like it's one of those things that by the time we get to that eclipse in September that you and I have talked about, you know, there's a lot going on. So I feel like there's going to be a lot to celebrate, really, and that it's just, you know, going to require that we just hang in there. And I like that you use the word relax and also, you know, have fun. And summer's a time to, you know, get out and do things and see friends, and, you know, it's vacation time for some people. And so I think that's good, too, that it's actually in the summer. I think that's, you know, to a benefit to a certain extent.
Yes, I agree. Beautifully said. And, you know, whenever all the retrograde or whenever the outer planets, especially all of them, are retrograde, that's also where we have to trust on deeper levels that a bigger timeline is unfolding, that a bigger picture is happening behind the scenes, because those are the cosmic planets. Those are the collective planets that are all about the bigger picture. So, you know, we have to come back to those bigger principles of trust and understanding that, okay, I can't force the tide. I can't make things happen, but I can trust that everything is unfolding as it needs to. And I know that for all of us, I would say, who have been on the spiritual journey, we know that's just an ongoing theme, right? We always have to be trusting, you know, how things are unfolding and knowing that it's working in our best and highest good.
That's beautiful. I'm so glad you shared that. I mean, that is an ongoing theme, absolutely. And that's interesting, too, because I just wrote about, you know, Chiron making aspects to Neptune, and, you know, that's all
yes.
that's all about healing and, you know, talking about our wounded healer. It was, there were some squares around that this week, which that
yeah.
produced some discomfort for some people. But, you know, in the bigger picture, like I said, I feel like this is really one of those things. What was the joke? Evolve or die? No, just kidding. funny or die, evolve or die. It's kind of a
yeah,
little cosmic joke, but so I feel like that's, you know, one of those things. Of course, it's not that extreme, but basically, it's a big invitation, and like anything, we can decline the invitation from the cosmos, from the universe, or we can fully participate in it. So I feel like these energies in combination, kind of going back to how they affect empaths, I feel like, yeah, there's some real, you know, potential for challenge there. But, again, I think if people remember the important points of, you know, running more love energy than fear, you know, mindfully having an open heart and being brave despite outer circumstances. Because, as you know, in both of those books, empaths are, you know, they're spiritual warriors. You know, we may be soft and vulnerable and nurturing and all that, but, you know, we kick ass, right? I mean,
yeah,
we're doing some hard work. And, you know, there's some people, you know, that are of the school that empathics are volunteer souls, that we, you know, chose to be here at this particular time to do the work. So another thing I really encourage people to do is it's really vital for people to tune in, and we've talked about this in other times, but it's important to tune into their own spiritual teams. If they don't know who their spiritual team is and they'd like to find out, consult wise guidance like yourself or me or any of our colleagues. You know, seek out some training and consultation to actually be more awake and aware of your own spiritual team, your own processes, what's going on with you. And, you know, also there's no shame in asking for help. I have people that I, you know, as you know, I've been doing this work a long time. I have my go-to
yeah.
people that are, you
yeah,
know, that
absolutely.
Are detached from, absolutely, they're detached and they can look at what's going on with me. So really, I don't think it matters your age or your station in life or whatever that, you know, if to have those go-to people, both on the physical plane and also our spiritual team, because there's so much loving support for us spiritually through this time. You know, I know you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it too. What I've seen, it's mind-blowing. There's so much love
yeah.
and support, especially for people that are committed to doing this work. So I know that there's times where it can get bleak and dark and scary. And that's the time when our healing angels and our folks are the closest in to us. So I know sometimes when we're in that place, we tend to not go there. And we can kind of just get lost in the emotion and whatever we're experiencing. So that's another thing, too, that I think is just, you know, growing in importance for empathic people is to just be very mindful of that, of their teams, both, like I said, both on the physical plane and also their spiritual teams.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautifully said, Irma. Yeah, a lot of good information and validation there. And, you know, to know that there are going to be the roller coaster rides at times, you know, the waves, the ebb and the flow, it's just part of how energy works, but we get stronger with it and stronger within and more trusting, and it doesn't seem to splash as hard. It isn't that overwhelming wave all the time.
Right.
In your book, The Aquarian Empath, Part 2, one of the final chapters is called Empaths 2015 and Beyond. And I really like this list that you gave here of some of the messages from the keepers about, you know, how the energies are working this year and beyond, and some of the bigger themes. And, you know, it's really important for people to know that there are, this book has some guidelines, you know, for how to do that. And I love how you pull in, you know, the astrology and the karmic themes and just kind of all these different layers that are coming up, health issues and more topics too. What are you feeling right now from the keepers about the rest of 2015? You know, we touched on the summer energies, but is there anything else? I'm going to put you on the spot. Anything else here about 2015 that you're feeling strongly from the keepers that people could benefit from knowing about?
That is a good question. And it's interesting because you know how you and I are. They get your question, and you know, before you ask it. I didn't get that one though, but I got some similar information. As I feel like for empaths, what we're doing is this really is a couple of things here, dropping things that no longer serve, but this is really kind of a coming into our own. And what they were saying, I'm glad I remember this. Thanks, guys. The thing about the shield and about how they said, oh, I'm glad I remember this, that it's not about anything that we need to attain. What I see that we're coming into as empaths and sensitive is it's really because so much of the issue with being uncomfortable as an empath and a sensitive is about safety and the lack of safety, right? I think that's something we can all agree with. You know,
huge.
It's feeling
right.
It's huge. You know, feeling vulnerable, feeling exposed, feeling like we don't have our tribe. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And so part of the reason why we've been given such kind of intense and bizarre contrast experiences around that, and I'm so glad they've been elucidating that because that's been something I've been scratching my head about, you know, pretty much my whole life, is that we're here, you know, basically we've got a really good education on what doesn't work, right? And we talked about that that's part of the contrast experience, at least it is now, even though we're kind of evolving out of that. So they basically said that, you know, we're not, it's nothing that we have to attain. These levels of safety, of sovereignty, of oneness, of, you know, power, personal power, all of this is within us. You know, this came with the package. It's a package deal. We came in here with this. So, again, it's kind of just like, I like that image they've used of, you know, there may be clouds over the sun, but the sun's always there. You know, it's just kind of removing the impediment. So I feel like this summer is going to be more about that shedding stuff, especially with all the retrograde. But I feel like starting at that 8-8, especially going into the 11-11 and the 12-12 at the end of the year, is really going to be about stepping into that. And that's not going to say that we're done with challenges, and of course we're all, you know, it's constant, we're a work in progress. But I feel like a lot of the just kind of superfluous stuff is going to be gone. And, you know, for lack of a better term, I mean, this is when it gets good, folks. This is when it's really going to get juicy and good. Yeah, bring it on. So, again, going back to the beginning of the year, like, where is that my ship coming in stuff? Well, we had to let go of some stuff, a lot of us. We had to get really clear. So I feel like, you know, utilize these energies to really hone in on what do we want to create for our life? What do we really, really want? Who do, all these things, who do we want to be traveling beside us? You know, do we want to magnetize in a new partner? Do we want to magnetize in the perfect, you know, job, employment situation? Whatever it is. So I feel like it's going to, you know, we still have to be on our toes. There's no doubt about it. But I think also this weird adversarial stuff, that's another thing that you talked to me, you know, to me about. And as you know, I go into that quite a bit in the book. Is there are gifts in these experiences. There really are. And, you know, some people can get right to the gift quickly. That's beautiful. Sometimes it takes weeks, months. It might, you know, I think it's going to, in general, though, it's going to take less time because, as you know, everything's really accelerated, you know, right now. But I think it's just, you know, guidance for the rest of the year is just see the gift in it. Just keep on trucking. You know, if it's not working, release it with love. It's really important also that we, you know, practice forgiveness for ourselves and others. As you know, that's such a powerful practice. But especially going into these energies and these gateways, I have a feeling more will be revealed in the summer and the retrogrades around that. But really, I think that I think looking at the last part of the year, it looks beautiful to me, especially once we open, you know, eclipse season in fall. I just think it's going to be awesome. You know, when I look at it, it looks looks like a shiny diamond. It looks really, really beautiful. And I think really with a lot of people doing the work, it's going to be like the crown and glory. I really do. And again, that doesn't mean we're done because we're always growing and evolving. But I think that there's just a lot of lower 3D stuff that we're just going to be done with, and yay, not a moment too soon.
I'd like to add. Yeah, I know.
And, you know, and also I think that, you know, it's important for empaths to remember, too, that even if you consciously don't know you're doing this, you are doing this work for all sentient beings, right? Empaths are doing this work for everyone, for the planet. So, again, we're going to have some tough days. Of course we are. But, again, call on your team and dedicate it. When you have a breakthrough, this is, I tell my people this a lot, my students, dedicate it to the benefit of all beings. I got that from my teacher probably decades ago. But that's another way to have our growth, to have it have even more impact is to dedicate it to the all. Because we need that right now. The challenges and the energies, as you know, have been pretty steep. And again, Saturn moving back in Scorpio, it's always a cleansing. It's always some, weird swampy material raising its head again. So even if we don't have that going on in our own personal life, expect that, absolutely expect it to rise up in the collective, no doubt. So that's another reason, again, to, be mindful of what's going on with our own energy. But that's really, kind of what I see. Again, I it doesn't mean that we don't have challenges, but I think that some of this kind of, kindergarten, not even kindergarten, it's kind of like, high school stuff, is junior high and high school level stuff. Like, we're now at much higher levels where, we're at grad school level and beyond. So a lot of this stuff, like we're out of the sandbox, we're done with that. And again, though, it's also having compassion because, as you know, everybody's at different places in this journey, right? And it's all valid.
Yeah.
But for us personally, I think that a lot of this lower stuff is just moving out. I just, and as you know, next year, in the numerology, it's the nine. The nine is the completion before we start the one in 2017, which is very powerful because that's a whole new, brand new thing. And as you know, astrologically, the Pluto-Uranus will officially be done in 2016. So we're in, these are really powerful, amazing, incredible times. And as challenging as they are, we're all very blessed to be here right now. So,
I love that reminder, Irma. Yes, beautifully said. We are very blessed, and I feel also that we chose to be here, absolutely, and that it's important to remind yourself of that because that's a direct connection to your power, to the fact that, yes, I as a soul, I'm lucky to be here because, believe it or not, there's millions of souls that aren't here right now. So it's also remembering that, we are lucky to be here even on those tougher days or challenging phases, but we have so much more support than we realize all the time, absolutely, in all ways. So just a really good uplifting reminder because I know some people are going through some really hard stuff right now, but you keep going and keep trusting and keep believing in yourself because that's going to help get you through.
That's great, Molly. Thank you. I just thought of something funny. In fact, I just shared it yesterday. One of my admins shared it, Cosmic Weather, and it's the Dos Equis guy, right? They have those memes with the Dos Equis guy, like, I don't always do whatever. And it says, I don't always incarnate in human form, but when I do, I pick the most difficult human circumstances so I could transmute it all into light.
Oh, I love that. That's on your Cosmic Weather page?
That's the Cosmic Weather. And you know what? It got huge amount of views and shares, and the thread on it was hysterical. It was great. So, people, if you it's Stars and Vibes at Facebook, if you want to check out our fun page that we have there. And, look for the Dos Equis man. That was a fun thread.
Oh, I love it. And, so I'm going to go grab that and share that on my page, too, because I think that is...
It was fun. It was fun. Yeah, a lot of people were... You know what I said? I said, sounds familiar, #team Team Lightworker.
Yeah, definitely. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Awesome. Well, we're just about up with our time, Irma, and I want to thank you for sharing everything so openly and generously. I know that there's a lot of people listening. We've had a pretty full dashboard here on the switchboard. So I know people are tuning in and paying attention to these messages. So thank you for your time and everything that you shared. It's a joy, as always, to speak with you.
Molly, I can't believe it's an hour. It always feels like it's like 15 minutes. It's just so magical,
right,
our connection. I really appreciate it. Can I just put this little plug out here real quick?
www.ErmaKSawyer.com.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. I think it's going to cut us off here in a matter of seconds, but definitely
thank
check out
you,
Irma.
Thank you, Molly. Namaste.
Check out all her books, and we will be in touch soon. We'll probably see you on Facebook as well. So take good care, everybody, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.